It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now back to Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen, two guys who still argue about whether or not Mr. Ed could really talk.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Kathleen Goodman, who is the author of the book, Puppy Possibilities. Welcome back to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today, fellas.
Let's talk puppies. It's our pleasure to have you back here. Kathleen, you are in Massachusetts right now, correct?
I am.
Terrific. I don't know how the weather has been there, but this year we've had a very non-snowy winter, and that's a little bit different than typically occurs. But how does Christmas puppies, since a lot of people do go and adopt puppies around Christmas time, how does that affect the whole raising and rearing of a puppy when it is winter and they're having to deal with snow and weather?
Well, especially in the winter time, planning and consistency comes into play. So before you even bring that puppy home, you want to make sure that you have that location in the yard where you want them to relieve themselves or do their business, as I say, plowed out or shoveled out. And it would be a good idea to have it as close to the back door as possible, without it being on a stoop, of course, because we never want those puppies to think that doing their business indoors is acceptable, no matter what the weather. You can always get yourself a pair of ice cleats to slip on your boots. And speaking of boots, you want to make sure that you have your clothes ready, your winter gear, ready to slip on right next to the bed, so that when that puppy gives you the signal in the middle of the night that, hello, I have to get out there and do my business now, you can slip your clothes on, scoop the puppy up, and outdoors you go to that business location that's already plowed.
And how does the puppy response to snow and all of that? I've got these visions of a puppy falling into a foot of snow and disappearing. I mean, what kind of things do happen? Because I'm sure puppies are curious. They're experiencing snow for the first time in their lives.
Well, a lot of times, even if you have a little path plowed to the location, they pretty much figure it's party central and, hey, let's make snow angels. Let's make puppy snow angels while you're standing there thinking, oh, my gosh, it's 2 in the morning. No, we're not doing that. Come on, hurry up. Get going. Well, all of that just kind of distracts them in the wrong direction, in a negative direction. So we want to just keep pacing that puppy in that business location and keeping our chatter short and sweet. Business, let's do business. Because remember, before you ever brought that puppy in the house the first time, you took him or her to that very spot and had them release themselves. So that scent has already been placed.
Okay.
And is in the ground, if you will. So just business, and as soon as you get that response, yay, way to go, okay, let's go, scoop the puppy up, you're back in the house, puppy's back in its little crate there next to the side of your bed, or in the X-Pen with a little quiet music playing down in the kitchen area, and you're good to go, and the puppy realizes that, oh, right, that's it, yep, gotcha, boom, squat, or sometimes, you know, a little calling card is left.
Right. We commonly work with customers coming in, and even throughout the day, they are sometimes frustrated, and maybe they aren't following a particular cadence that the puppy has. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, daytime, when they're wrestling in the middle of the night, you know that the only thing they're going to really wrestle on probably is to go to the bathroom. But during the daytime, customers will be frustrated because they don't have the opportunity to figure out when they're going to the bathroom, you know? And it can't be too difficult, is it?
No, it really isn't if you follow a very simple rule, and that is you set your timer during the day.
Yeah.
That's kind of in my house training ABCs, which is in the book.
Right.
It's on page 22. But at any rate, you're going to keep that puppy confined to a specific location where you are also involved in either doing your morning chores or making breakfast or whatever, dinner, no matter what. An X-Pen is a great thing. If you have a crate for them, that's fine. They can be in that location. And you set your kitchen timer for an hour.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say you've taken the puppy out, they've relieved themselves, you've played a little bit outdoors, depending on your weather situation, they've had their breakfast, and now you need to do some things. So they're confined in this little location, they have a little toy to chew on, possibly a Nylabone or something like that, and you're going about your business. You know that within 10 to 15 minutes within eating, they are going to have to relieve themselves. So if they've just finished their meal, you're going to set your timer for maybe 10 minutes, depending on the size of the puppy. The smaller the puppy, the less time. Smaller bladder can't hold it that long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've done the first part of that cadence, and now you're ready to do some real work at home, and you set your timer for an hour. The puppy's probably going to sleep because they have a full tummy. The timer goes off, and out you go. You pick up the puppy, take it outside to that business spot, and just kind of walk around a little bit. Usually when they first wake up from a nap, they're going to have to go to the bathroom and relieve themselves, either with a calling card or possibly just a little puddle. So you set that one-hour timer. You get your results outside, lots of praise. We want the puppy to think that, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing in the world. Your neighbors may think you've kind of lost it because you're out there, yay, good boy, what a good dog. Yes, you do your big business, all right. And, you know, to get some of the men in my classes to do this, all they have to do is be successful once, and they can get that voice pitch up, too.
Well, if it means I get to come in from the cold, then I don't think you'll have any problem with that elation, Kathleen.
So let's set it. There you go.
Yeah. So the timer is a great thing.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I've actually taken that a step further. I'm going to have to get a puppy from a friend or the local shelter and get this on video or at least capture it in stills, where I've taught one of my dogs when she was very young how to hit a bell that we keep on the floor. You know, you go to the store and somebody steps away from the cash register for a moment and says, please ring bell for service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's about, I don't know, $3 at Staples or something. I put it on the floor, and I taught her to touch the bell every time she had to go out to go to the bathroom. She was quite a bit older. She was probably about 4 months old at that time. But that's a great thing, and I'm going to be having that up on the website as soon as I can get a little demo pup to do the drill for me, if you will.
So the customer takes his puppy out an hour later. If he does take it out and nothing happens, does he bring it back in and put it in a limited space? And then maybe every 15 minutes take them out? Or how would you go from there?
If that puppy just got up from a nap, I don't come in until they give me something.
Okay, so
I don't care if it's like, you know, 2 drops on the surface.
Okay.
And I make just as big a whoop-de-doo as if they left a calling card for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come in until you get something, even in the middle of the night. And you know, if the wind is howling and all of that, it's not a party for the human, but the reward down the road, you're putting into place that behavior that you've just done for me is exactly what I want, and oh my gosh, you've got that puppy crawling all over you because your voice pitch is so exuberant. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, you do your business. And I have 2 dogs here in the room with me right now that just picked up their heads.
Because they heard that voice. I believe it. Kathleen, I have a question for you. I've got a coworker who's had a puppy now for about 4 weeks, and I've been going through his experiences with him. And one of the things he ran into is when he went home over the holidays to visit his family, he put his puppy in his cage, and he started to whine and cry. So he didn't want to disturb his family, so he let the puppy come into his bed with them. And I said to him, that might be a big no-no because we're going to get this dog used to sleeping in the bed with you. How big of an issue is that? And what should people do when they're trying to not disturb other people who are in the same premises?
Okay. Well, sometimes I have found, just with my own puppies, here at the house or when traveling, that, you know, they're not ready to go to bed yet. Maybe they didn't have enough playtime, but you are. And a lot of times I'll sit and read a book in bed before I go to sleep, and their crate is right next to the bed. I do have an old bath towel that I have taken to putting over the top of that crate, and I've actually been able to turn on, well, I have a little clock radio there, but a lot of people have iPods nowadays, you know, and I play some very quiet classical music. Not everybody's cup of tea, but it does seem to soothe a puppy into, you know, possibly falling asleep and possibly not, and they may whine and carry on. And I will tap the crate and say, I should tap a crate. That would be a good thing. I would tap the crate and say, time to rest. Now, some puppies chime in with that and say, no, I don't want to do that. And I would tap it again, time to rest. And sometimes I would just kind of stick my hand in the side of the crate itself, you know, the mesh on the crate. I can fit a couple fingers in there. I've got a small hand. And let that puppy smell my hand. Now, they do have in that crate an old bed pillow that I used to carry them on when they came home. And they pretty much hunker down to that because my scent's all over it.
So for the person that's bringing a puppy home, the main thing is understand those common odors, those common materials, and try to kind of bring that along with you when you go on a neighbor's trip or actually a relative trip.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My dogs were, oh my goodness, I mean, to see a 10-month-old golden retriever on a standard size bed pillow that he was carried home on, it's kind of a funny sight, actually, because he's trying to fit himself on this little pillow. But taking that familiar article, if it's, you know, if it's an old towel or a lot of people use an old blanket or something like that that has their scent on it, and that really does help. But I would not encourage bringing the puppy into bed with you. Not at that age.
Kathleen, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we've run out of time for this segment. But I hear you saying that consistency and having a plan is the most important thing. And that is something that we're going to stick with. So we want to thank you for coming on the show. We really do appreciate you coming on.
Well, I would love to have people stop at my website, puppytrek.com. They can see what others have to say about my training methods and keep an eye out for whether or not I might be coming to their neighborhood to do a signing.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with Kathleen Goodman, the author of the book, Puppy Possibilities. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.